What's your name?
My name's Andrea.
Hi, I'm Ethan.
It's nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you as well. Hey, how's it going? I'm Ethan, your Real Life English Fluency Coach, and I have a question for you. Do you ever feel scared when you have to start a conversation in English? Or maybe you have an important job interview or event coming up where you're going to have to perform in English and you want to feel proud about your presentation, right? Well, having the perfect introduction in English can help you to feel confident. And this might seem like a basic topic, but let me tell you that even if you are an advanced learner, it's really useful to continue working on this. Now, this is something that you're going to have to do all the time. Whether you're just meeting someone for the first time, you're in a job interview, or you're on stage at a big event, you're going to have to introduce yourself. And a lot of times, you have to do this without any warning. So it's really important that you're prepared, right? And furthermore, your introduction should be unique to you. You shouldn't just say something because some teacher on YouTube told you that it's the right thing to say if it's not actually true. So, to help you get the preparation that you need to have your personal, perfect introduction, in this lesson we will cover the vocabulary that you need, the pronunciation of how you can say these like a native would, or how you can expect natives to say them so you'll understand them. Then we will cover some tips for perfecting your intro. And we will also look at the differences between British and American introductions, because there's some words that we might use differently. And then finally, of course, we will give you some examples so you can start using these introductions right away. And by the way, if you are new here, every single week we guide you beyond the classroom so that you can understand fast-speaking natives. You can be understood by anyone, and you can connect to the world. All right, so we're gonna start off with the most basic, of course, and this is different greetings. Now, greetings are different ways that you can say hello. Now, hello would be obviously the most basic, you can't really go wrong with it, but maybe it's not what natives will usually use. It's a little bit dry, right? So let's look first at some different words that you could use if you're in a more formal situation. So first off, of course, you can say hello, but you could also, depending on the time of day, use a different greeting like good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Now, it's probably pretty obvious the time of day for some of these, but maybe less clear for others. I hear some learners say, for example, good night because it's nighttime, but actually we use this either to say goodbye when it's at night. So before we are leaving, we'll say good night, have a good night, or something like that. And we might also say it if someone's about to go to sleep or about to go to bed, so we'd say good night. So if it's dark outside and you're wanting to say it as a greeting, then it should be good evening, not good night. And then a note about good afternoon. So I've heard a lot of learners also say good day. Now this is probably because this is a direct translation from a lot of languages, and it does actually exist in English. Now they can use it sometimes in the UK. However, if you use this in the United States, it's going to sound like you're really old fashioned, and it just sounds a little bit unnatural. And of course, you can shorten any of these by removing good, and I would say that's a little bit more informal, but it's really okay in any situation. So you would say morning, afternoon, evening, night. Okay, and what about if you're meeting someone for the first time in a more informal situation? Maybe you're getting introduced to a friend of a friend, or maybe you're in a group of people your age, or you're just kind of wanting to give more of a warm introduction. What could you say then? So first off, instead of saying hello, we could say something like, hey, hi, or we even say hiya. That's kind of a more modern way of saying it. And another really common one that we use in the United States is yo. So it'd be like, yo, how's it going? Yo, what's up? And this, I believe it comes from rapper culture, actually, but nowadays, pretty much any young person can use it. I would use it a lot with my friends. And next, we would have what's up, as I said before. Now, a lot of learners get confused with this because they think that it means the same as how are you, but really, what's up is used much more as a greeting, and we might use it together with another one, like hi, what's up, or yo, what's up, but it's not asking how are you. So if someone asks you what's up, you wouldn't say I'm good, and you? You would actually say something like not much, or you could explain what you're doing, because what's up is actually similar to saying what's happening or what are you doing. And in casual situations, it's really common for natives to actually shorten this. So instead of saying what's up, we would just say sup. And that's because you might hear some connected speech there of what's up. So we actually just say that really fast and it becomes what's up, and we just take the end part, sup. So that's where that comes from. And some other ones are like, what's cracking or what's happening, like I said before. So we can say what's happening, but often we'll drop that G and we'll just say the N sound at the end. So it becomes what's cracking, what's happening, what's good, what's new. And I'd say these are all very common in the United States. I'm not sure if Andrea would use them as well in the UK, but another one that they probably would use in the UK is what's going on. Now, in the United States, if we say this, we would say it faster. So we'd say, what's going on? What's going on? Now, I'm from the Western United States, and maybe you've seen some Western films. And if you have, then you might have heard the greeting, howdy. Now, howdy is shortened from how do you do, which is an old expression that would be used to basically greet someone or also to ask someone how they're doing. But nowadays, it's just used kind of the same as hi. Now, it might depend where you go in the United States that you would hear this. I probably wouldn't use it so much, but maybe in kind of like a fun, casual setting with friends, then I could say howdy. All right, so you have said hello, and now maybe you want to ask someone how they're doing. But what you probably learned in school is, hi, how are you? I'm fine, which is a little bit boring, right? So maybe you want something to say instead of how are you? Now, how are you? That's great if you're in kind of a formal situation and you're not so sure exactly what to use. You really won't go wrong with that. So if you want to say something else that would be fine in any situation, you could say, how are you doing? Or how are you feeling? So if you say, how are you doing? This is basically the same as how are you, but it's just a different way to say it. Of course, how are you feeling? That might mean more like, you know, how are you actually feeling? Like, what mood are you in? So maybe if you see someone and they look like maybe a little bit sick, a little bit under the weather, you might say that, how are you feeling? Like you're showing some concern for them. But this would really be okay also in any other situation. And the person could say, I'm feeling great, or I'm not feeling so great. I'm not feeling so good. I'm a little bit under the weather. And then you could ask more about that, of course. Now, if you want to make this a little bit more informal, you could actually take out the R. So you could say, how you doing? Or you could drop the G there and say, how you doing? That's actually a really famous line that comes from Joey in Friends. And then you could add to the end of any of those, today, this evening, this afternoon. So how are you feeling this evening? How are you doing this afternoon? And another really great one in any situation is, how have you been? Now, this means basically, since the last time I saw you, how have you found yourself? So we would say this with connected speech, even in a formal situation. So in the United States, instead of saying, how have you been, we would probably say, how have you been? How have you been? Now let's take a look at some more informal ones that you could use with some closer friends. Now we already kind of looked at how you could change the how are you doing just by taking out the R or maybe dropping the G, but what are some other ones that we can use? Now, one really great one that we use all the time in the United States is how's it going? But usually we'd have some connected speech here as well, and it would become how's it going? How's it going? I use that one all the time with my friends. Another one that I really like using all the time is how's life? And this actually comes from a little bit longer phrase, which is how is life treating you? So basically, how are you encountering your life right now? And basically the person might answer, everything's great, I'm doing awesome, or not so good, I just lost my job, or maybe something else like that. So you're inviting the other person to kind of open up the conversation, and we'll look a little bit more at that later. Another really similar one you could use is, how's everything? And another one we use all the time in the United States is, all's good. Now this comes from, is everything good? But we kind of like shorten it in this way, all's good. I don't think it's so grammatically correct, but we use it a lot in the United States. So that's a really great casual one that you can use with your friends. Now, how should you respond if someone asks you, all's good? Now, you could just say yes, but something that you shouldn't do is answer it like, how are you? So you shouldn't say, I'm good, and you? You should actually probably answer it by explaining what's going on. So you might say, yeah, I'm really great. I just came from going on a run, so I have like an endorphins high. Or you might say, you know, things aren't so good. My pet is a little bit under the weather and I had to take it to the veterinarian. Now in the UK, they have another really great expression that they use all the time, but they will have a different meaning in the United States. So let's have Andrea explain about this one.
In Britain, lots of people would ask, are you all right? Except it wouldn't sound like this. They would connect it to say, you all right?
Hey, by the way, we have prepared a special free PDF study guide and video lesson that you can download to help you remember and practice everything you learn in this training and take your English fluency to the next level. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/introductiongift to download and watch now. Now, in the United States, if you ask this, are you all right? It means that there's something wrong, that you've perceived maybe that person looks sick, maybe they look really sad, and it's kind of like, you know, you're wanting to show that you care for that person, and you're asking what's wrong. So this is a great one to use in the UK as a greeting, but if you use it in the United States, the answer is going to be very different. And we have two more really great lessons that will teach you kind of how to have these casual conversations in English. So in one, I explain to you what are kind of the phrases that you learned in school that we don't actually use so much in real life. And then the other one is one that Andrea did on 55 expressions for conversation. So those will really complement what you're learning in this lesson, and I highly recommend that you check them out next. All right, so you're starting a conversation and the other person asks you, how are you? Or how's it going? Or any of those other alternatives that we just learned. So how should you respond? We already looked a little bit at some, but let's look at some other kind of things that you could say if this happens in any situation. So the first one obviously would be, I'm good. But maybe if you want to sound a little bit more native-like, we shorten this a bit. So we might just say, I'm good, I'm good. So we don't really say that full I sound. We just say the, I'm good, I'm good. And of course, it really benefits you to learn alternatives to good. So you could say, I'm great, I'm fantastic, I'm amazing, I'm awesome. Now, if you know any of these, then it's going to give you a lot more diversity in which to answer with, and it'll make you sound a bit more natural. And of course, they have kind of different varying degrees of how good you feel or how bad you feel. So it can kind of offer more subtlety to what you're trying to say. Now, recently on our other channel, Learnings with TV series, I did a lesson teaching you better words to say than good, and you can check that out also down in the description. Now, similarly, how we can use all good as kind of an alternative to how are you, we can also answer that. If someone asks you, how are you? You could say, all's good, all's good. Now, you can say each individual word, all is good, or if you want to sound more natural, then make it the contraction, all's good. But maybe you're not feeling so great, and so you want something to kind of show that you could use in any situation. Okay, that's something that we'll use all the time, especially when it's kind of someone that we don't really think they really care how we're feeling. We just say, I'm good, or I'm okay, I'm all right. And then some other ones you could use, maybe if you're not just kind of like average, or you're really wanting to express to that person that maybe you need some consoling, you need a good friend, then you could say, I could be better. Could be better even. We can drop the subject there. Or we could say, I've been better. That means kind of like, you know, I've had other moments in my life where I've felt better than I have right now. And if you say either of these, probably the person's going to ask, you know, what's wrong or what's not so great. Now the connected speech here, we wouldn't probably say could be better all like that, very stiff like a robot. We would say could be better, could be better. So we kind of drop that D in could and link it to the B, could be better. And then in better, of course, we have that American T, so it's not better, it's better. And another one that you could say similarly to this is not so great, I'm not so great. And we would say this as not so great. So that's a glottal T, and we kind of drop it all together, so it kind of becomes not so great, but not so great, not so great. We might also say, for example, I'm not feeling so hot. That might mean that you're kind of like feeling a little bit under the weather, you're feeling a little bit sick. And of course, in the UK, they have some answers to this that might be a little bit different than what you encounter in the United States. So let's take a look.
In Britain, we would respond with, very well, thank you, or can't complain. And maybe a bit of a posh one would be splendid. If you're visiting Ireland and you ask someone how they are, they might even say to you that they are grand, which means that they are great.
All right, and then you're just meeting someone for the first time. So what are they going to ask probably? They're probably going to ask you, what's your name? So if someone asks you, what's your name, how should you respond? So of course, a classic way that you can respond, you can't go wrong with this, is just to say your name. So if someone asks me, what's your name? I might just say, Ethan, and yours? Or Ethan, nice to meet you. But of course, if someone asks you, what's your name? You could also say, my name is Ethan. But maybe that sounds a little bit unnatural than just saying your name straight up. But maybe you're starting the conversation, and so you want to ask that other person their name without necessarily just saying, what's your name? So I could say, for example, hey, my name's Ethan, and you? And then, of course, another really common one, instead of saying my name is or just our name, is to say, I'm Ethan. Hi, I'm Ethan. What's your name? And then if you're on the phone, it's actually completely different because we wouldn't say my name is or I'm. We would actually have to say this is. So if someone calls me and I answer my phone and I'm wanting to report to them, you know, who I am, then I would say, hi, this is Ethan. How can I help you? Or another way that you can say that to me sounds a little bit more formal is using the word speaking. So basically, if someone calls me on the phone and I'm wanting to announce who I am right away so they know who they've reached, then I could say, Ethan speaking. Now, of course, if you do this, it's because the person who's calling, you don't know them, or it's an unknown number or something like that, or maybe you are using this at work, for example. So you wouldn't use that, for example, if you know that it's a friend calling you. And of course, as I mentioned before, once someone tells you their name or you've both introduced yourself, then the correct thing to say in that case, so that you sound polite, is nice to meet you. Now, you probably already know that, but a native will pretty much never say nice to meet you. We'd say nice to meet ya, nice to meet ya. And just a note here, I think kind of depending on the culture that you're in, you might make this mistake. Now, in the United States, and I believe even in the UK, if someone asks you your name, you shouldn't give your full name. So you shouldn't say your first and last name both together if someone's asking your name, unless they have directly specified what's your first and last name. If they're just saying, what's your name? Then the most natural thing that you can do in our cultures is to just say your first name. So make sure that you're doing that, because otherwise it could sound a little bit unnatural. Maybe it would even sound a little bit too formal or uncomfortable to the person. Moving on, when you meet someone for the first time, or even if you're in a job interview, of course, it's going to be really important to talk about your work. People might ask you where you work or what you do. So let's look at some different ways that you could ask this if you're curious about that for the other person, or ways that you can expect people asking you. So first off, you would of course just say the basic, where do you work? Where do you work? Or if we're saying this in more of a casual tone or with connected speech as a native would, then we could say, where do you work? Where do you work? That do you all the time in English becomes do. Now, if you want a little bit of a different way to ask this that I would use all the time is, what do you do for a living? And again, we can say, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Now, this basically means, you know, to be able to live, to be able to get money so that you can live. What do you do? What's your work that actually pays you your salary? All right, so these are two really great questions to ask. But if someone asks you these, then how should you answer? Now, something kind of interesting in American culture, at least, is that when we ask, what do you do? We're asking about work. So really, what we do in life is very attached to how we make money. That's just something, I guess, about our capitalist culture and something that you can kind of expect, because probably in your life, you do more than just work. But if someone asks you that in the United States, that's what they're asking. So if someone asks you, what do? Then the simplest way to answer is by saying, I'm a, and then the position that you work in. So this, of course, would be the position, not the actual verb. So I'm a manager at Google. I'm a chef at an Italian restaurant. I'm an English teacher. I'm a construction worker. So really, you can kind of figure out how would you call your position and use that in that case. But you could kind of say something different as well. You could say, I work in, and then talk about the area that you work in. So you could say, I work in environmental change. I work in education. I work in the culinary industry or the hotel industry. So in this case, you have to think about what is the general area called that you work in. Maybe you don't work for another person. Maybe you have your own business. So you could say, I'm an entrepreneur, or I have my own business. But maybe you're still studying, or maybe you want to not just share your work experience, but also your experience studying. So this usually would be attached more to university, of course. But first of all, you could say, I study at, if it's current, or I studied at, and then say the university. So I would say, I studied at the University of Colorado. You could say, I studied at Harvard, I studied at Cambridge, or any sort of alternative to this. Now, maybe you want to not just share where you went, but also what you studied there. So then you should say, not I have a title in, because that's incorrect, and that's kind of a translation from other languages, but I have a degree in. So I would say, I have a degree in international affairs. Now, maybe I could say that all together. So I have a degree in international affairs from the University of Colorado. So there we should use from, not at. So I studied at the University of Colorado, but I have a degree from the University of Colorado. Now, if you say this, it's probably talking about an undergraduate, or as we would say more colloquially, an undergrad. Now, this means the kind of the base degree that you have to have in order to study anything else after those first 4 years of college. It's 4 years anyway in the United States. So then if you want to communicate that you've studied beyond that, you might say, I have a master's in. So this is the case for me. I have a master's in marketing. Maybe you have studied even more than that and you have a doctorate. So you'd say, I have a doctorate in, or I have a PhD in. Now, basically, both those mean the same thing. So I have a PhD in electrical engineering, or I have a doctorate in English literature. Okay, so another thing that's very common to come up is someone's going to want to know maybe where you came from, especially if you're an English learner. I actually think it's really great if you have an accent because it kind of generates conversation. Someone will notice that accent as kind of exotic, so they might be like, hey, where are you from? So if someone asks you, where are you from, how should you answer? Now, the most basic one you could say, of course, is I'm from, and then say the place. So if someone asked me that here, I might say, I'm from Colorado. I'm from the United States. Maybe we want something a little bit more interesting. So you could say, I was born and raised in Colorado. Now, this basically means that both I was born there and I grew up there. Now, if you were born in a place that's different than where you actually grew up, then you could say, for example, I was born in India, but I grew up in France. Now, if you say this, then that basically means you were born in that first place, and then in that second place is where you actually have spent most of your life. And pay attention to the connected speech there, of course. So born and raised kind of becomes born and raised, born and raised. So that and hooks to the N from born, and we kind of drop the D at the end. So nan, born and raised, born and raised. So let's say that you're currently living in Canada, you've been there for a while, you still have your accent, so you're talking with someone and they ask, hey, where are you from? You could say, well, I'm originally from Japan, or I'm originally from Germany. And this is a great way to say that you came from that country, but now you currently live in this place. And then similarly, maybe you want to continue the conversation here. So if someone asks you where you're from, you say, well, I'm originally from Japan, but I've been living here in Canada for 5 years. So that would be kind of the formula. So for example, for me, I'm originally from Colorado in the United States, but I've been living in Barcelona for 3 years. Okay, so we've talked about work, we've talked about where you come from. Now maybe you want to have a little bit more of a fun conversation. You don't want to talk about work, but you want to talk about things that you enjoy doing when you're not working. So these would be your hobbies. So when you want to ask someone about this, probably the most common thing would be, what do you like to do in your free time? So if someone asks this, of course, you can say, in my free time, I like to play golf. In my free time, I really like playing video games. In my free time, I like reading. But if someone asks you, what do you like doing in your free time, you probably don't want to answer that way, right? So let's look at some more interesting ways you could answer. First of all, you could say, I enjoy. So I enjoy golf. I enjoy reading. I enjoy learning languages. Another really great way that you can say this is, I'm an avid or I'm a voracious. So this means that you are passionate about that thing. So I could say, for example, I'm an avid reader, or I'm a voracious cooker. Like, I really like spending time in the kitchen. So a really American way you could say this is by saying, I'm big on something. So you could say, I'm big on surfing, or I'm big on science fiction. And in the UK, they have some other interesting ways you can say this. So let's have Andrea show those to you.
We might say, I'm keen on, I'm into, or I'm interested in.
All right, so we're coming to the end of the introduction here. Maybe you're at an event, or maybe you have just met someone, started talking to someone, but you aren't feeling so much like you want to continue talking to that person. This might happen, for example, just because you feel like you're not vibing with that person, like you aren't really hitting it off. These all kind of mean the same thing, that there isn't chemistry there. Or maybe you're at an event, like a networking event, and you're wanting to meet some other people. So how can you politely tell that other person that I've enjoyed meeting you, but now I want to go talk to other people? So of course, in the USA, we are very polite, so you should always use things like please, thank you, and sorry. So first off, you could start off by saying, sorry, sorry, it's been really nice to meet you, but now I want to go talk to that person. But my friend is waiting for me, but I really have to go because I have another commitment. Now, if you want a really formal way to answer this, we could say, I have a prior engagement. Now, that's a really great expression that you can use. That means that you have some other plans that you made before, so now you have to leave. So, for example, if you are finishing up the conversation, you said, I'm really sorry, I've enjoyed meeting you, but I have a prior engagement and I really have to go now. Another really great way to say this is, I have to excuse myself. Now, we wouldn't say have to so much here, we'd probably say have to. So I have to excuse myself. And then you can kind of give the excuse, or you can just leave it at that. So you can say, sorry, I have to excuse myself. It was nice meeting you. Let's talk again sometime. Or please excuse me. My friend is waiting for me and I have to go. A more casual way, for example, if you want to talk about a prior engagement, is you could say, I'm running late. I'm running late for something. So I'm running late to pick my kid up from school, so I really have to go now. I'm running late for another event that I signed up for, so I have to go. And a more casual way even to say this is, I have to run. That means that you're really busy or you have something else that you have to get to and you have to go now. And as I mentioned, with any of these, you kind of want to do it in a polite way. So you should always say, of course, as I said, sorry, and it was great meeting you. And maybe if it was a good connection, then you want to do something like ask for that person's phone number, like, can I send you a WhatsApp sometime? Can I get your LinkedIn? Can I get your card, if you want to get their business card, or you could give them yours. So any of these would be kind of appropriate, and it's a really kind of classy way, a really great way that you can leave without being rude. And then just finally, let's end this section by talking about some different contexts and things that you might need to know in those contexts for doing a different type of introduction or having to say some different kinds of phrases. So first off, you might bump into someone, you might casually see someone that you have not seen for a long time. And in this case, we have some different sorts of greetings. So first off, we might say, long time no see. That means it's been a really long time since you've seen that person. And then we might say, what's new? That means, what has happened since I last talked to you? We might also say, what have you been up to? But we have some really great connected speech here that we'd probably use, or that if you hear a native say it, they would say, what have you been up to? What have you been up to? Another thing we saw before is, how's life? How's life? Now, this is always really great if you haven't seen someone in a long time. Now, let's say you're at the supermarket and you bump into someone. So if this happens, maybe you feel a little bit awkward. I usually feel pretty awkward in those situations, and you're kind of in the middle of your shopping and you're just wanting to continue without having to talk too much. So what should you do so you don't get tied up talking to that person for a long time? Well, we talked about already ways that you can kind of excuse yourself. So you should always say, you know, hi, how's it going? And kind of be polite. But then you can kind of use those things like saying, I have to run, I have another thing that I have to do after this, sorry, I'm kind of in a hurry. And something you might say is, it was great to see you, or it is great to see you, either in the present or in the past. Kind of like right before you're leaving, you could say, it was really great to see you, let's catch up some other time. All right, so now we have our tips for success that are going to help you put everything into practice. So the first tip that I have for you is, you should actually create a script. Now, you should actually write down, what is your perfect introduction? What is the introduction that is unique to you that you really want to use when you meet someone new? And maybe you could actually have several of these that you use depending if you're in a more formal situation, if you are going to have to talk about yourself in a job interview, or one that you want to use more if you are meeting new people that are your age, if you're out at the bars, or if you're kind of meeting friends of friends. So really, whether you are more advanced or at a more basic level, something that can be really useful to do is to first write it in your native language. Now, usually I'm not a big fan of translating, but in this case, I think it can be really valuable because you know exactly how you might want to say things in a really specific way in your native language that might be hard for you to start out in English. Now, I've actually used this even when I'm learning a new language and it's the first week that I'm learning it, to already be able to start speaking. I'll actually write out my introduction by writing it in English first and then translating it. And usually I keep it pretty simple because I don't want to learn crazy vocabulary yet. But this is really fantastic because after 7 days of learning the language, I can already start a very basic conversation with someone, which when I'm starting out, that's really important to build my confidence. So if you're more basic or if you want to learn another language, I highly recommend that. But even if you're at more of an intermediate, advanced level for what we've learned today, I think this is super important. Now, one of the reasons that this is so crucial is because when you give your introduction, usually you won't have warning. So you need to be able to be spontaneous. It needs to sound really natural. So having that script and then practicing it is going to help you to, in any situation, give that introduction in a really natural, casual way. And then this way, you can focus more on the connection with the other person. So what's really important here is to think about, what are the questions that you're going to be asked? So of course, if you're going into a job interview, you should research a little bit. You should obviously know things about the company so that you can actually talk about how you'll fit well with the company. And we can do another lesson, of course, talking more about English specifically for those job interviews. But what we've learned today, I think, can already be really helpful. And by doing the scripting exercise, you'll feel a lot more confident in that situation. So if you're thinking also about more of a casual conversation, if you're going out to the bars, if you're meeting up with some friends, then you're going to want to think about what is the more informal, natural, and native language that you'll need to use. So we've already looked at some of these today. So people might ask you, like, where are you from? What do you do for a living? what are your hobbies or what do you like to do in your free time? And maybe you have a job interview or you meet new people at work or you're going to an event or something like that and you need some more business English. So if that's the case, then I highly recommend we just created on our other channel a lesson teaching you business English with TV series. So it's really fun, really practical, and I'll link that down in the description below. Now, don't just write out the script and then don't touch it at all. You need to really practice. You need to get this down pat, which means that you're getting it by heart. And a really great way to do this so that it comes out natural, because maybe you have it memorized but you really have to think about it, is to actually record yourself and listen to yourself. And by doing this over and over again and maybe trying with different questions, try mixing up the order, then it's going to start coming out much more natural and it's just going to feel like a part of you. So you won't have to even think about it. It's just anytime someone asks you, what do you do for a living? Or what do you do outside of work? What do you do in your free time? You'll know right away what you're supposed to answer. And let's not just talk about this. Why don't you actually pause the video, write out a quick script. It doesn't have to be very long right now, and share it down in the comments below to introduce yourself and myself and the community that way can kind of help you out and give you some feedback. All right, so let's move on to the next tip. So let's say that you're a bit like me and you're introverted and you feel a little bit shy, especially when you are in situations where you're meeting a lot of new people in a short amount of time. So in these cases, it can be really useful to not just depend on talking about yourself, but actually ask the other person more about themselves. So center the conversation around that other person. That way you kind of get over your shyness because you're not having to do all this speaking. Because of course, if you just jump into reciting your script that you've practiced, then maybe the other person will get bored. Maybe it still doesn't sound very natural and you're just talking about yourself. Something that is true of everyone is everyone loves talking about themselves. So use this to your advantage, really practice those different questions and really show a genuine interest in that other person. Now, of course, you can add to your script some really interesting questions. Maybe you can kind of relate to some different things about yourself. So you could say, hey, I studied environmentalism. What do you think about environmentalism? What do you think about climate change? Or different things like that that are going to kind of spark some different conversation that you're also going to be interested in speaking about. And something that can really save you in these situations is the question, how about you? How about you? So there's some connected speech there as well. And you can always ask that. If the other person's asking you a lot of questions, then you can kind of keep turning the conversation back towards that other person, and they're going to feel a lot more comfortable speaking with you. And of course, if you are like me, that you're introverted, I created a really in-depth lesson talking about this with a bunch of different tips that will help you a lot in any situation like this. So I highly recommend you check out that later by clicking up here or down in the description below. The third tip is to not stress out about whether you need to use formal or informal language. Now, in British and American culture nowadays, there is a divide between formal and informal English, but it's getting smaller all the time. So even when you're at work, a lot of times people will use informal language. And just to give you an example of this, I see a lot of English learners that use sir a lot or madam. Now, these words aren't actually so common in the United States, and it can even sound kind of weird. It can make the other person feel uncomfortable because it's just too formal. So if you go into a job interview, do not be saying sir, sir, sir to the person who's interviewing you. You could use Mr. and then say their last name if you want to give a bit more formality. But to be honest, I almost never use this word sir. Now, the exception to this might be if you're in the service industry. So for example, if you're working as a waiter or you're working as a clerk at some sort of store, then you might say, can I help you, sir? And this is kind of just adds a bit of politeness. But in general, do not use this word very much. Do not be overusing it because it will make people feel uncomfortable. Now, how can you know whether to use informal or formal language? So you're at a conference or you are at your job and you're not sure, is this a place where I should be using formal language or informal language? Really, the best way that you can figure this out is by listening to other people. What language are they using? Are they using more of the formal language I gave you today, or are they using more colloquial language? And by kind of observing this and observing the situations that they're in, who they're talking to, then you'll get a lot more comfortable in these different situations with which words you should be choosing. As I said, if you sound too formal, you can make people feel uncomfortable, but if you're in doubt, it's probably a bit safer to use that formal language because you also don't want to come across as rude. And finally, let's talk about some things that you should not talk about, some things to avoid. Of course, depending on the culture you're in, certain questions are okay and certain questions are not okay. So one thing, for example, in American culture, is that I'll see compared to other cultures, we will not generally ask people about their marriage unless it actually kind of comes up naturally. Now, if someone says, blah, 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 my wife, or blah, 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 my husband, then of course you can say, oh, you're married, and you can ask questions about that. But it should not just be kind of like a direct question like, you know, what are you interested? Are you married? Because that other person might kind of feel like, you know, that's none of your business. So of course, this is why it's really important to know the culture and to know what is okay and what's not okay. And even like when you go to the United States, for example, if you are in certain areas, there's places where certain things might be more formal. So for example, if you go to the south of the United States, it's probably a little bit more formal and there's more of these questions that you shouldn't ask. And maybe if you go to the north of the United States, then really anything is okay. So it is going to depend a lot even on the subculture of the United States that you're in, or the subculture of the UK, or really anywhere else that you go. So again, really try to observe this. But let's look at some of those things that you should not say or not ask about. So first of all, other than asking about marriage, you should not ask people their age, especially women, because this can be seen as offensive. We would probably see this as not so important or relevant anyway, because you can kind of see more or less what age someone is. And maybe if the other person asks you for some reason, or maybe if it's because of something really surprising, like if the person has a bunch of gray hair, but then they say, oh, I'm studying university at blah, 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 you might say, how old are you? Because maybe they're younger than you think they are. But in general, this is something that's better to avoid unless the other person brings it up first. And then once again, marriage is something that you probably should not ask about unless you already are pretty close to that person or they bring it up. But of course, it's fine if you want to tell other people that you're married or tell them about your wife or husband. People won't really find that at all weird or rude or offensive. And then two other subjects that you should try to avoid unless the other person brings it up, but even in these cases, I would usually try to steer the conversation in a different direction, would be politics and religion. Now, of course, these people can have very different opinions, and really, it's probably when you're just getting to know someone, it's not where you're wanting to go. You're not wanting to go to a place that's really conflictual. So I would highly recommend that you avoid those topics unless you really like getting into heated debate. All right, so as promised, just to wrap up this lesson, I'm going to give you some examples that will help you in writing your own script. So first off, let's put everything that we looked at today together. So my introduction might look like this. So I would say that my name is Ethan. I'm from Durango, Colorado. I currently live in Barcelona. I studied at the University of Colorado. I have a master's in marketing. I have my own company. I'm the CMO of Real Life English. In my free time, I like running, exercising, meditating, and singing. I'm an avid reader, traveler, and language learner. Now that probably sounds to you a little bit robotic, right? It doesn't sound so natural. And probably if I came up to you and I started speaking like that, you'd be like, okay, I'm gonna go talk to someone else. But let's look at how we can kind of put that together in a more natural, flowing way. So that first way that I gave you is really great for writing out a script and for knowing how to answer different questions. But if you have to give it as a presentation for yourself, then you're wanting to do it in more of a flowing way, right? So let's try this. Hey there, I'm Ethan. I was born and raised in Colorado, where I studied international affairs at the University of Colorado. I now currently live in Barcelona. I have a master's in marketing, and I have my own company called Real Life English, where I'm the CMO. In my free time, I like exercising, running, meditating, and singing, and I'm also an avid reader, language learner, and anytime I can, I love to travel. Now that seems so much more natural, right? So I highly recommend that you try it that way, write out your script, and then kind of see how you can put it in more of a flowing, natural way in case you have to present yourself. Now let's take a look at how Andrea would say this in a little bit more British way.
Hi everyone, I'm Andrea, and I'm a legal graduate from London, but I now live in Barcelona. I've worked as a teacher for the last 10 years, and I enjoy dancing and playing tennis.
And now finally, let's see what this looks like when two people actually meet each other. So Andrea and I have done kind of a skit for you. Let's take a look.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What's your name?
My name's Andrea.
Hi, I'm Ethan.
It's nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you as well. So where are you from, Andrea?
So my family's actually from Cyprus, but I was born and raised in London.
Oh, that's so great. I was born in Durango, Colorado, but I'm currently living here in Barcelona.
Oh, cool. And what are your hobbies?
Well, I really like in my free time, whenever I can, to do exercise, to go out running. I like singing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And of course, learning languages.
Oh, great.
How about you?
Well, I really love dancing and I enjoy singing, but I'm not very good at it. And I also really like reading and going out to restaurants with friends and trying new places because I love lots of different cultures' foods.
I feel completely the same. So what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm actually a teacher. I actually studied law at university, but later on I decided to have a career change because I wasn't enjoying it so much. And I've been working as a teacher for over 10 years now, and I really love it.
It's so great that you found something you're passionate about.
Exactly, because it's such an important part of your life, and I didn't see myself working as a lawyer all my life. It just wasn't for me.
Makes sense.
How about you?
I have my own company and I'm the CMO. It's called Real Life English.
Oh, wow. That sounds so cool.
Yeah. I studied international affairs at the University of Colorado, but it had nothing to do with that. And more recently, I got a master's in marketing.
Oh, cool. That sounds really interesting. So what does your company do?
My company helps English learners to go beyond the classroom and to live English in their life.
Oh, wow. That sounds really interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Well, it's been really great meeting you, Andrea. I'm actually going to go try and meet some other people here as well.
Okay, well, it was really nice meeting you as well, and I hope to see you again.
All right, so now you put it to practice because none of this is any good unless you actually use it. So write out your script and share it down in the description below so me and the community can give you some feedback on that. And now it's time to go beyond the classroom and live your English. Aw, yeah.